Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Off Menu podcast, James. This is a little edited down version of a live streamed episode we did for the Unmute podcast festival with a very special guest indeed.
Yes, very exciting. We had a really good time with our episode. It was so fantastic. And our special guest was none other than David O'Doherty.
O'Doherty. David O'Doherty came in to talk about his dream meal in his dream restaurant. We can't wait for you to hear it. It was a really fun episode. If you didn't see it happen live, you missed out on some stuff, like our faces. Some very amusing hand gestures, which won't necessarily come across on the audio version of the podcast. But let me tell you, it was great.
And a front cover of a certain book as well, which we'll be talking about during the pod. And you'll have to imagine it with your mind, or maybe you can find it online. But we had such a good time.
We did. And as always, we had a secret ingredient that if David mentioned, he would have been kicked out of the restaurant. I'm not going to give any spoilers. Did he get kicked out of the restaurant? You'll have to listen to find out. And the special ingredient this week was ghost peppers.
Ghost pepper.
Ghost peppers. We're nearly at Halloween as we record this, so we thought it was an appropriate ingredient. Ghost peppers, I think people say it's the hottest pepper in the world, nearly. I think it's all bravado, ghost. James. No one's eating that for flavour, are they?
No, no one's eating it for flavour. Come on, it's just a flex to all your friends. And do you know what? I'd do it.
Yeah, you do flex, don't you? You love Da Bomb. You love flexing.
Yep, I've got a bottle of Da Bomb in my fridge, and my nephews are obsessed with it.
Have you used it?
Yeah.
Do you use it for fun, though, or are you just doing it to show off to your nephews?
Mainly to show off to my nephews. That's what most things that I do in life are, including
that's
my career.
True, actually. Yeah, that's true. That's lovely. Ghost peppers, if they come up on David O'Doherty's menu, then he will be out of the Dream Restaurant / Unmute Podcast Festival stream. Hopefully he does not. So for now, this was the off-menu menu of
David O'Doherty.
Live on the internet for the Unmute Podcast Festival. Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast. What I'm going to do, I've written a little intro, which is rare for me. Normally I panic at this point, and I've not written anything sort of like a food-based metaphor introduction. I'm spinning out this bit as well because I can't even see James. I don't know where he is. And the longer I take over this bit, the funnier it'll be. Although he does seem to be in danger of smothering himself at the moment, which is fairly impressive. Okay, here we go. That's, you can already hear our guest in the background there, enjoying what's going on. So welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, where we take the carcass of humor, the water of chat, and the herbs of friendship and apply the heat of the internet to create flavorsome podcast stock. So I actually wrote that. I took some time over that, about 3 minutes. So you'll know what this podcast is. It's a food podcast. It's a chat podcast. It's hosted by myself and James Acaster, who is a food genie who can grant all of our guests food wishes here in the Dream Restaurant. He lives in a lamp, and now he's. I'm going to rub the lamp. There you go. I'm rubbing the lamp, and here comes. Oh my God!
Hello,
it's the genie. Hello, James.
Good
How
to
are
see you,
mate?
Ed. Thank you for awakening me from my slumber.
Of course, no expense spared there with the genie special effects. Welcome.
Yes, that was fun, wasn't it? Out of the lamp.
And into our lives. Would you like to explain to the listener what the podcast is?
Here on the Off Menu Podcast, we're going to have a special guest in the Dream Restaurant and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. And for this special Unmute Festival podcast episode of Off Menu, our guest is... David O'Doherty.
Very excited to have him here. Please, welcome. Actually, James, get back in your lamp because you need to burst out on the guest. That's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good lad. Oh, he's disappeared again. Please, welcome to the Dream Restaurant, David O'Doherty. Lovely. Whoa!
Welcome, David O'Doherty. We've been expecting you for some time.
Whenever you do that... I do imagine you're just a barista and you're doing the thing where you're firing air through the... I wonder if they imagine they are genies sometimes while they're making the coffee.
They must do. We're very closely related, genies and baristas. People don't know that, but we are from the same, like, mythical lore. We both come from that.
Yeah. And also, genies always write the person's name on the wish before they hand it over, don't they?
Yeah, well, some genies are a bit too cocky, actually, and we might write their name on the wish, but at the start, we won't ever remember that we won't write anything down.
Where have you gone there, James?
I realised...
What were you aiming for?
Well, I was going to do a riff on waiters that don't write anything down, and then I remembered we were talking about baristas and not waiters, and then I thought, oh no, I've had a nightmare. I'm a waiter in this. I'm a genie waiter, not a... The barista's a separate thing.
The thing that genies and baristas have in common is after they've granted you wishes, a lot of the time genies imprint in the top of your head a sort of leaf pattern.
Yes, we do. We move your head around as we're making the wish, got the wish for you, and then send you on your way. And you have to go and ask other people and go, what did that genie put on my head? And they're like, it's a shamrock. I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough.
I've got an interesting thing that I need to share with you guys.
Yes,
firstly, thank
you
very much for having me. And I enjoy listening to this podcast a lot. And I was listening to it the other day, and I don't know how... So you know the way usually after the starter, there's an ad break if you listen back to it. You guys probably don't because you were in it to begin with.
Yes.
Sometimes I listen back to it, but James has never heard it. James doesn't know what this podcast actually like.
No idea how it comes across. I hadn't heard the theme music until just now on this episode. And let me tell you, that theme music is a bag of shit.
So...
James, I will have you know that theme music is very, very free.
Okay. Well, point made.
In Ireland, the ads are localized for Ireland that play after each course. And I don't know if it's an algorithmic thing where the ad sort of knows who you are and tries to target you. But it was the most specific government warning ad I have ever heard. And it was after the starter course. I was listening to Ivo Graham's episode. Uh-huh. And so he wanted something posh for his starter, yes. You know what I mean? Liquidized poor people or whatever. And the ad was from the Irish government to say, Christmas is coming. Please, please, please rethink buying your child a scrambler. It was, don't buy your child a quad bike or a scrambler for Christmas, which is the most specific government warning I have ever heard.
Especially with everything going on. You would have thought the government had got bigger fish to fry.
Was that one of the ones that me and Ed did, or one by somebody else? I can't remember the ones that we record, but mine, if we did it, I'd be going, oh man, Ed, I can't wait for Christmas. I'm going to buy little Genie James Jr. a scrambler.
No, James, haven't you heard? The Irish government is strongly recommending against it.
What?
The biggest issue we've ever had with a dynamic ad, I don't think we've ever spoken about this before, but it was absolutely amazing. We'd done an ad for a farm delivery service where you could get proper farm food products delivered to your door. And it was on an episode with Daisy May Cooper was our guest, our wonderful guest, Daisy May Cooper. And it was the first bit of the interview with her. And then it cut to the ad, and the ad opened with James going, oh, Ed, I'm just off to milk Daisy.
It's unfortunate.
It was very unfortunate. Oh, man, we got so many messages going, what the hell are you talking about? You can't say that about your guests.
Yeah. Couldn't have happened to a nicer person. And I'm referring to myself.
Yes. Well, welcome, David, to the Dream Restaurant. We're very excited to have you here. What are you up to there with your hands?
That, do you know what that is?
No.
It's I remember it from a school trip. That's how you milk a cow. The Daisy thing. It's just you start at the top, and you need, because a farmer showed us how to do it, even though milk is obviously now just an evil thing involving robots and sad cows. He led us to believe this. He came out with a bucket, and he did this along
David,
the nipple.
That farmer was a creep, mate. I'm sorry that this is how you had to find out that you were abused. But that farmer was being horrible in front of children. Was he doing it on his own dick by any chance?
Uh-oh.
My goodness.
And this is how you milk a cow, children.
Jesus Christ.
I should have warned you before coming on this podcast, David. Ed is a disturbed individual.
It's a lot racier so far. Racy in terms of sexy, and also racism. We've had both of those so far. So carry on.
Where was the racism?
Yeah, just your Irish impersonation.
Oh, so both from Ed. Let's be perfectly clear. Both were from Ed. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't realise I was doing an Irish impersonation. But I can really lean into it if you want. If I can do the later on, I'll do the wanking Irish farmer. He'll come up later on, maybe around dessert. And I'll properly put my all into it.
Something to look forward to.
It is racier because it's live. Benito would have edited a lot of that that stuff out.
Oh, there's no way that would have made it in.
David, are you a foodie? Do you like your food?
Yeah, I do. I definitely am repelled by a certain decadence. There's a level of decadence that I enjoy from a meal. And if you go beyond that, I don't want anything to do with it. If you try and put a napkin on my lap, you can have the napkin. I'll accept a napkin sitting on the table. But if you try and place it across me, I will just in a straight uppercut. You're going down then. So there's a middle ground of restaurant that I very much enjoy. That, and a sad side note to that is, two sad side notes. One, so Dublin's on lockdown level 5 at the moment, so all restaurants are shut. So I've over-romanticized the idea of restaurants maybe a little bit in trying to think of what I'd get here. And secondly, the restaurant that defined my dream restaurant, well, obviously this is the dream restaurant, but the closest existing thing to it was a restaurant in Edinburgh called Spoon that I have attended hundreds of times over the years and went out of business last week because
frickin'
bats. So, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so, sorry.
Been to Spoon with you many times and the restaurant. And I... little bit of fun.
That is exactly my sort of humour.
Yep, good sort of humour there. for a long time, I was convinced that one of the... I know exactly what Ed's going to say now off the back of this, but this was legit, Ed. I was convinced that one of the waiters in Spoon hated me, and I would avoid going in there because I was 100% convinced he hated my guts.
Well, you think that about every single place I've ever been with you. You are convinced that a member of staff hates you. That is your personality. That's what you're worried about. There's not every, it's also a sort of arrogance because you assume that everyone's thinking about you all of the time. So it's a real fine line to tread. I thought I hate you, obviously.
Well, just to describe the level of decadence that Spoon is, which is the correct level of restaurant decadentness, is it's chalkboardy, but not an art decoy, but not in a sort of a cliche mid-century type way. The staff are friendly, but not obsequious. You know what I mean? They don't. They'll ask you how your show was, whether you did a show or not. They just pretend that you did a show. And I'm talking about dessert in a glass. That's the vibe. You know what I'm talking about. But I hope thousands of people watching and listening get that too.
They did an excellent cooked breakfast, which was felt like a traditional cooked breakfast, but they didn't try and modernize it too much. It was like a nice version of a traditional cooked breakfast on lovely crockery.
Great crockery. See, I've been for lunch and dinner with David many, many times, and what is weird is I can't remember a single thing you've ever ordered, David. I can't remember what food you like whatsoever. All I can remember from going for meals with you is that every time I've been for a meal with you, if it's just me and you, if there's 10 of us, whoever, you always have to pay for it. You're very keen to pay. And this is my impression of you at the end of any meal. No, 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 please, let me do this.
I mean, that certainly does. So there was a joke that I used to do for a long time, which was I would pretend that I was going to pay for a thing till the bill came over. You know what I mean? Which is like, no, seriously, you guys, I've been doing all right. And so we'll all just go in on that. It's a variation on that.
This is great. I love it.
Because I'm slightly older than you guys, I did feel a responsibility because I was probably not losing thousands of pounds. I stopped losing money in Edinburgh and at festivals generally before you children. So maybe I did take it upon myself to pay for everything, and particularly now when you're both millionaires and I haven't done a gig since March, I might have to stop that now.
Yes, I could. We owe you back now. But what I always liked about it was that it was never like, I'll pay for this. And we were like, no, let us pay it. There'd never be you then going, no, 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 it's fine. You'd go straight to, no! Immediately. Still all sparkling, David?
Great question. I think for a long time I would have... Okay, so there's three distinct eras of my water choices. Up to 30, still. 30s sparkled through my 30s. But now I've actually gone back. I've gone back to still again. And I think it is, you know, there's a global shortage of carbon dioxide because it's, I think it's a byproduct of ethanol, which they're not making anymore. It just seems like future generations may look back at the sheer decadence of carbonated water as just like, wow, it's like ham with fire in it or something. It's just that's a bad example.
That sounds great.
Fire ham.
Yeah, fire ham, yeah.
I just think it's something that people aren't going to believe. It's like people driving 5-litre cars in the 1970s in America. Future generations will not believe that we squandered the resources of the planet having bullshit like fizzy water.
Do you think when it comes to that in like 50 years' time, when like the world's a wasteland, that like sparkling water will be a currency in a way?
Oh, maybe it will. Yeah. It'll be... And you'll be able to hear people drinking it, though, because of when they open the bottles. So there'll be, like, George Orwell-type police who just go around listening for the tsh of the tops of the bottles then. Yeah.
And that is the sound that you make to get someone's attention anyway. So it kind of sounds like that.
You think, though, if we repurpose the genie, so with that great release of energy that the genie makes when the genie comes out of the lamp, if we were to plunge the lamp into just a bath of still water, maybe in arriving, the genie would carbonate that water. So that might be a way we can move to a zero carbon, quite literally a zero carbon future.
I'll be up for that. I speak on behalf of all genies.
But then I suppose you end up with just a very wet genie, right?
That's fine.
You happy with that? Genies love to be wet.
Rub-a-dub-dub. I would love it. Rub-a-dub-dub.
Also, if we're living in a world with genies and we've run out of carbon dioxide, probably a quicker way would be to wish for unlimited carbon dioxide resources. Rather than getting the lamp every time and plunging it into still water and going, right, that's enough sparkling water for a couple of years.
Now, I'm not an astronomer, but I've reason to believe that they're creeps just with the telescopes. You know what I mean? And they all they all look like wrong'uns. They're they're looking down and then they at the last minute. Well, but I think one of the planets is all carbon dioxide atmosphere. So maybe we could send water there. We'll say Venus becomes, you know, the San Pellegrino planet. And I'm okay with that, I guess. Yeah. If it's so, before drinking, I'd be like, "Is this from Venus?" And then I'd be like, "Well, I can drink it then." But if not, yeah, I'm not wasting. Hummus would be the other one. Where in my 20s wasn't much into it. In my 30s, I got too into it, and now in my 40s, I've kind of overdone it now. You know,
is there a fizzy planet? I didn't know about this.
I didn't know about there being a fizzy planet.
Yeah. Next question. I think there is a planet. I think Mars has got a CO2 heavy atmosphere. Is it? If O'Brien was here, this is exactly the sort of shit that he would know.
When he was on it, he didn't talk about that. When he did this podcast, he just talked a lot about what's it called? Bujaba?
Steve Bujaya,
what are
the comedian.
You talking about Steve Bujaya?
The Irish burrito place.
Oh, Boojum.
There you go. Boojum. Yeah, that was all.
That's very weird. I mean, I see how if you went there once and you were drunk, you might think this is the best place ever. But it's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine. But, you know, it'd be like, I'm trying to think, what's a not particularly exciting chain restaurant? It'd be like Clay, just because it's not. Oh, there's a bit in Duff from Guns N' Roses' autobiography about how much he loves Pret-a-Manger. And it's like they have this place. I think he thinks there's only one of it in London. And so the rest of the chapter has been about just banging and whiskey. And then the next morning he wakes up and he knows this little place called Pret-a-Manger. And he goes there and they have all these sandwiches and they've cut the sandwiches into triangles. And like they have loads of drinks and great coffee. And that's it. He just...
I can imagine if you'd not been to a Pret before and you went into a Pret for the first time, it would blow your mind. Sure.
Yeah, and there's a special sort of disappointment in life that comes when you see your first branch of a what turns out to be a chain, and you're like, this is a one-off. I remember it happening with a juice place near me in Dublin, and being like, whoa, they've gone to all this effort with the chalkboard and all these delicious juices. And then I noticed there were like 35 more of them around Dublin that day.
And you feel awful depressed about the fact you enjoyed it, because you're like, oh great, it turns out I'm just a basic consumer.
Pop it up or bread. David O'Doherty, Poppadoms or bread? I don't even know what your water order is. I'm seeing the countdown here on the screen and I'm scared.
Yeah, tap was the water. The bread is a bread. I'll have bread, please. But I'm going to have a strange middle ground of bread, which is, and this is quite Irish, I want a Guinness treacle loaf where, firstly, I only want one slice of it. And I don't want anyone else at the table to have it, because if they've any left over, I will steal it then. And then I won't be able, literally won't be able, I'm going to have to go and take a shit before the main course, basically, will be the only hope then. And I want one of those loaves where when they start to tell you the ingredients, there's at least three things in it where you're like, that is... like, there's Barocca in this? That is ludicrous. You know, salt, sugar, that sort of stuff that's somehow in a real... It's almost semi-flapjack. You can have it as a dessert, but I want it as my bread. But I'm not going to eat it till the starter comes. So I'm just going to stare at it. I'm going to enjoy looking at it. And I'm going to wait for the starter then.
So quite a heavy... You want a heavy bread that sort of packs everything into, like... like you've basically got like 1800 calories per cubic centimeter, like that sort of heavy bread that could sustain you.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the idea of it, would be you don't need anything else. You can basically live on it. But I'm then going to eat a whole lot of other. I mean, the problem with in trying to think of this meal, you do kind of think of like pre-execution last meals then. In that I might die after this meal because there's so many delicious things. And who, like, were they to behead me, it's possible my head would fall off and then just butter would gush out of the socket for 30 seconds.
Lovely.
Where's this bread from?
It's definitely an Irish bread because it's a soda bread. I have tried to make it and utterly, utterly failed because I think you have to be over 80 to be able to make it properly for it not to stick to the tin. So you're not using a yeast, you're using a bread soda, a bicarbonate soda thing. And then you're just, you know, the way like the center of a black hole is just stuff that's just crushed together. That's what this bread is. Yeah.
And are you putting butter on it as well, or is there enough stuff in there?
Nope. I'm putting a heap of butter on it as well. As I said, there is no tomorrow. And I haven't been to a restaurant for absolutely months. And so, yeah, I'm getting it all done. Every course will be a meal, basically.
What sort of butter do you like? Is there a specific dairy that you want it from? Is there a specific farmer who milked the cow by any chance? Perhaps we'd like to hear from him.
No, there's no need to hear from him. No, okay. No, don't need it. I want Dairy Gold is an Irish butter that's exported around the world that is still a semi-state company. It's still part of our government is Dairy Gold. I'll have the salt, so just a little, it's a little bit of salt. Not much salt. In many ways, Ireland is the mirror image of New Zealand. And so they go on and on about anchor butter. And they claim to have invented spreadable butter, stuff like that. Whereas I still think we have the superior mass market export butter. And I hope someone cuts out that last sentence of mine and has it as the trail for this podcast, because it sounds like a discussion of agricultural produce.
Your starter, which is, I mean, we already know that you're having your bread with this starter. So I'm trying to think about what it could be. But, I mean, it screams soup to me.
Yeah, it is a soup, but it's unique among soups in that it's a soup that doesn't repeat. Ed, you look like you might have guessed what it is. Either that or you're going to do an impersonation.
No, I was just genuinely impressed that James guessed that you were having soup.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good. Yeah. I want a chowder, but I certainly don't want tomato-based New York chowder. I want a proper cream chowder, butter, more milk in it. We put yogurt in there. Put a petit filou in there. I just want a big old dairy chowder. And this is the key. I want absolute carnage. I want every time I dip the spoon in, I want new dead things to come out. And I want that to continue to the end. Like, do you remember earlier on the year, there was those awful forest fires in Australia? And
be interested to see where this goes.
Horrific total of animals that died over the course, like something like 35 billion animals died. Well, I want this soup chowder to be the equivalent of that, but instead of burning to death, they were boiled in dairy. And I feel that's a life well lived. Is that too much?
Well, no. I mean, you know, I'm the only person on this podcast today who's not getting cancelled so far, so that's good. You for those comments, and Ed for what was an absolutely appallingly racist and...
It wasn't appallingly racist. I didn't even do the accent properly. Trust me, if I'm getting cancelled, I'm doing it later.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean...
Yeah, I want all sorts in it.
Many times in this podcast, we've spoke about the best seafood chowder that I ever had, which was in Belfast, in the hotel in Belfast, and I had it twice in 3 days. I loved it so much. And then went back to the hotel the next time I was in Ireland, and they didn't... Well, there was a chowder on the menu, but they'd changed the staff in the kitchen, and it was nowhere near as good, and it was heartbreaking. And I've been looking forward to that chowder the whole tour, and I already knew that I was going to have a bad gig that night, because for some reason, every single time I go on tour, I have the best gig of the tour in Dublin, and I have the worst gig of the tour in Belfast the very next day.
I apologise on behalf of the island, but I think there must be... You could really cut corners with a chowder, because no one's saying you've got to put in, say, the things that make it incredible, which is a little bit of smoked fish, some shellfish, some mussels, bits and pieces. Like, you could easily just... Which is what happens with crap chowder, where they have... You know, they've taken out the salmon and replaced it with carrot. You know what I mean? Aww. And that is, yeah, that's an absolute joke. And then I've got the brown bread as well with the butter. While I've been waiting for the bread course to finish, I've just been towering butter onto it. And yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. I might even take a bit of bread, put it on the spoon and dunk it, which is...
Yeah, you will.
It's putting the McDonald's chips into the caramel sundae, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Delicious.
Now, when you say you're pulling new dead things out with every bite, do you know what they're going to be? Or is this sort of a potluck chowder where there's every sort of animal in it?
Because remember, I'm a genie, David. So you want to get your wording right. If you've seen Aladdin and stuff, you don't just say, I want loads of dead things in milk and petit for Lou. Yeah. And then go, I'm pretty sure that'll be exactly what I want when it comes back to me.
No, things of the sea. You see, I struggle with being a meat eater in as much as if I thought about it for more than a minute, I would definitely become a vegetarian. So I've spent the last 15 years, every time the thought comes into my mind, just suppressing it, just listening to loud music, having a cold shower, that sort of thing. However, the animals of the sea, I mean, I give them a special pass, and by that I mean an awful pass. And I think it's because as a child, so my granny lived on an island off the West Coast, which is where I spent lockdown one with my 82-year-old parents. And so I would fish off the rocks and you would catch a mackerel. But because I know we're going to be eating it in a few hours, I wouldn't have a problem with bashing its head off a rock and putting it in a bag. Whereas I would feel bad about doing that to, say, Ed's farmer character or the cow that he's milking.
Mm-hmm. Well, the farmer character bashes cows off a rock the whole time.
Yes.
He can't stop bashing off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want a chowder like someone's dredged a canal. That's what I want.
Do you remember taking me to the island you just mentioned? David?
I remember taking you there and I really wanted it to be the greatest experience of your life. Yeah. Now, the problem was there was an orange weather warning, which isn't don't travel. It's seriously think about traveling. Yeah. And we had a good think about traveling and we arrived there. I remember going for a walk at one point where we had to cover up all of our, because the hailstones were sharp, the edges of them. So you had to cover your whole body. And even if you had a hood, like a Lord Antony hood with elastic, the pins and needles, hailstones, would go into the back of your eyeballs. Yeah. So we did a jigsaw for 3 days. That's what I remember.
But I remember we were there for three days in the little house, and we did this jigsaw puzzle, and we're really obsessed with jigsaw puzzle. It was the extremely bad storm for the entire 3 days. And on the third day, I think, you said, I'm sorry, but like, I can't have it that you come to Ackle and you don't see the beach. You have to see the beach. So let's go and see the beach. And we got in the car and we drove to the beach in the storm, and it's still really bad. And we got there, we were looking at it from the car, and you said, we have to just walk on the beach, we have to. And we're like, well, we don't have to walk on the beach. We're like, come on, we'll just go over and touch that rock. And it was on the other side. I remember like this feeling, all the weather just pushing us back as we're trying to get to the rock at the edge of the beach, all of us, and looking at the sea. I mean, to be fair, I took a photo with the sea because it looked absolutely incredible. It was quite breathtaking to be on the beach in that storm. I'm glad that I did it for that view.
Yeah, I remember we tried to just pretend this was normal, and my overriding image of that, let's call it a holiday, even though it was like something the Navy SEALs have to do to qualify as Navy SEALs, is my ex-girlfriend playing pool in huge motorbike gloves because the pub was so cold. That's how miserable it was.
Loved it, though. Absolutely loved it. I'll never forget it.
So we've got that delicious chowder full of dead things. It's like dredging a canal. There's going to be a number plate in there. There's going to be a shopping trolley. There's going to be some Johnnies. It's what an exciting culinary experience it's going to be.
Little known fact. Ed is one of the only people I know who still says Johnnies. I love it.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We must get onto this main course. I can't believe it's 20 minutes left. We're in big trouble for Benito.
We can run over, can't we, Benito? Just text us to say we can run over. Yeah, you can run over. He's actually texted 10 minutes ago to say you can run over.
I thought the bugle was on next.
I think it's a bit of time until the bugle's on.
I go on the bugle occasionally, so it's topical political stuff, but we could start pretending we were the bugle. You know what I mean? And then it would really wreck the whole festival. Like, we need to get a reputation as the bad boys of this festival. And then we start bugling. We do Blind Boy later on. Don't know what else is on. But I'm pretty sure there isn't a podcast. We could do them all.
Also, I think, Films to be Buried with today as well. So we could do that, I'm sure.
Definitely. Jaws. Jaws, please.
Jaws, lovely. Well done. Good. Jaws is your main course. I can be Nish because Nish is the special guest on the bugle, so I can...
There you go. That's my impression.
That was going to be my impression of Brett as well, though, for films to be better.
All right.
Is that
Brett Goldstein. What films are you going to be buried with, mate? What a film. What a lovely film.
I'll be Saltzman then. That's it. It's just that you maintain that tone throughout. Yeah, I could do it.
Very good.
Well, I like that we've been told we can run over. So now what we're doing is wasting all that extra time by doing an impression of the next podcast.
Yeah.
I think we might be the bad boys of the internet.
Yeah.
I bet I haven't looked at Twitter, but I bet that's what people are calling us right now.
What is your main course, David O'Doherty?
My main course is, it's a meal that I once made, okay?
Oh.
And I don't know how I did it. So I'm a very instinctive chef. And by that, I mean, I don't have any measuring things, but I love to have a go. So I estimate/guesstimate things. And then having watched quite a lot of cookery shows over time, I've been on Sunday brunch when you're with a really, really good chef and they never measure anything. They just know. When you know, you know. So I try and use that principle as well. But the problem is I don't know. So I throw salt in. You know what I mean? A cool amount. Like I'll just raise the thing right up the and back down again. I'll get some leaves and I'll do that hand thing like that just to sort of mush them up as they go in.
And you know how you should be doing that, David. You should be doing it like that.
You can't milk time, which is actually my family motto as well.
Weirdly, that's exactly what we are doing with this podcast.
This is a meal from 3 years ago where somehow the planets aligned and it was one of those iron cookware pots that I will not say the name of, but I bet Ed will. And then
Le Creuset, I'd love a free one. Le Creuset, yes, please.
Picture on his Instagram of him like swimming full lengths in a 15-meter Le Creuset.
Get him.
Shout out to the companies that messaged me on Instagram and I never mentioned James and then I just get the free stuff. Beer, based in Bristol, just sent me a lovely crate of beer. Thank you very much.
Stop this. I'm not being part of this. I am not being part of this.
Le Creuset, Le Creuset.
Many people lately ask me if I've got the chunky donkeys. So many people going, hey, James, I bet you're enjoying your pair of chunky donkeys you've got. I saw Ed's got some. I'm like, what the hell? I ain't got no chunky donkeys.
They ain't sending you chunky donkeys.
I don't want to ask what chunky donkeys are. So I'm just imagining you're talking about how, because you've been eating too much over lockdown, your buttocks are enormous. You've got two big old chunky donkeys that you sit on.
Yeah. My pants have got a couple of big old chunky donkeys in them.
That reminds me. I would like to do an ad in this show now, seeing as I am here, and this will give you an idea of the. This is what I'm talking about. I'm a real have a go hero when it comes to cooking, but my mother, because she is incredible and actually knows how much to put in things, buys me the most offensively basic cookbooks still, and it all goes back to this one here, which she bought me when I moved into my first bed sit in 2003. And I think it's the saddest, right? So if anyone can't see it, it's a book called Microwave Recipes for One. But look at the picture. There's a dinner setting set up just in front of the microwave. Imagine seeing your own reflection in it. Imagine watching the food rotate, watching the Frankfurters just rotating.
Also, the really sad thing about that picture is that obviously that doesn't work. If you set up, you've got the meal in the microwave, and then you set all that up, and then you just. The door's just going to come and smack it off.
The door opens. Just going to sweep off all the crockery.
Imagine you hear the ding and you say, dinner is served. And then you just open it and the fog ding. Comes out. The genie, that's basically as close as you can get to a genie, is over microwaving a Gialfrese meal for one.
Did you ever cook anything from that book?
No, I don't think I did. I mean, let's see. I mean, the stuff is pretty salmon with cucumber sauce. Like, imagine, but how are you going to microwave salmon? That is absolutely disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, I always think the saddest point in a divorce must be the first time you penetrate the seal of a microwavable meal with a fork. You know, that really specific, like,
yeah.
Noise then. And that's what this book implies.
So what's your main course?
So it's a large ironware, French influenced, brightly colored pot. It's chicken and all the veg. It's that one, right? And it's you throw it in the oven and you can leave it in for 2 hours, but you know what? Leave it in for four. It'll be even more falling off the bone. And this is the kind of, I'm like, you know the way Messi, Lionel Messi in football, probably the coach doesn't tell him what to do. Just goes out, go out there and do your stuff. Like,
You are wasting that on me and Ed. you know Messi, guys.
I thought you were referring to Mr. Messi from the Mr. Men.
Yeah.
He's the most talented footballer in the world. There's this game called football. How far back do you go? He's an instinctual player, and I am an instinctual chef. But where he is very good, I am very bad. So I fire things in. So we've got the we've got the ironware pot, and we do the searing, where you put it on the hob with oil in it and sear the chicken, like full chicken we're talking here. And then the problem is, I don't remember what I did. I don't remember the order. I remember I put various veggies in and potatoes and popped the lid on and put it in the oven for 3 hours. A bit of stock, some red wine, a selection, handfuls of various things from the herb garden, but I don't remember what I did, and I don't remember what I put up the chicken's asshole. I don't remember anything about it, and I've been chasing that dream for 3 years now, trying slight variations on it, and every single time it comes out like boiled. You know, like children in the Second World War who had to move out of London and live in the countryside. It's sort of like the food that they would eat. That's what it always turns out as, where the carrots are hard, even though they've cooked them for 5 hours. And the fucking chicken is just like, you know, someone has just put it in a tumble dryer and let it just fall around on itself for a week.
I love that your approach to cooking, you're from a jazz dynasty. You take a jazz approach to cooking as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to, but I am missing the key element of jazz, which is to be highly musical. Like, you know the way they say about jazz, it's the notes you don't play that are more important than the notes you play. Well, the ingredients you don't use and the ingredients you use, they're all bad from the point of view. But I'll still keep going. I'll still keep trying. I'll try to chase that dream. And that is what I would like the genie to make for me.
Does the dish have a name?
Is it coq au vin? It must be coq au vin, right?
Yeah, but like, what is coq au vin? You put stock, you put red wine, you can put white wine as well. I've tried it with that. Maybe I put in white wine. And what temperature do you put it in at? 170? Do you put it at 130? Do you leave it in for 4 hours? I don't know. And it's Coco David is what we'll call it.
Right. Coco amazing. David. Absolutely amazing. Your name is David O'Doherty and you call it Coco David. Absolutely incredible.
Oh my goodness.
It's early in the sky. Ernie Pie.
Especially as you know that Coco David is the name of the farmer.
Yeah, that's you know that's his name. Walking around, wily little farm, Coco David.
So what I'm going to try the next time is I'm going to pull out microwave meals for one, and I'm just going to microwave that chicken for 6 hours and see what happens. Yeah, okay, so we'll call it Coco Doherty, but then we'll put a question mark at the end of that because I don't know what the recipe is. So it's, and you have to say it. You know the way in a school oral exam when they made you read from the book and you didn't know what the sentence meant, but you saw a question mark, so you just rose up to it. So that's the pronunciation. It's like Cock O'Doherty, like that. Yeah. That's what the dish is called.
Your side dish then for this half memory of a dish that you once created, like a meal from the film Inception. What is the side dish going to be?
I've thought a lot about this, and there's certain things that are delicious. I've no problem with eating things in the wrong order. I've no problem with having two starters or a main and a starter as a main, you know what I mean, together. But with this, I'm going to... So rice paper rolls, I was thinking that because it might be nice to get prawns in, but then we've already had too much carnage of the ocean from the starter. So I'm going to, I mean, this is quite sentimental for the Off Menu podcast, but I went away in the second week of March. There was the bat disease made itself known, and I was meant to be going to Australia, and so all my gigs in the future were cancelled. I broke up with my girlfriend, and I moved to an island off the West Coast with my 82-year-old parents. And so when we got there, we were in, I mean, I was in a slightly mentally disheveled state, but my father is a wonderful man, and he has a polytunnel down there. So he said, we don't know how long this is going to go on, but it'll be fun to watch things grow. So the first thing we did was bought a load of seeds, and I went to the beach and got seaweed and hosed it down for like 2 days to wash the sea salt off, and then buried that under the ground in the polytunnel because of the great nutrients, and then went to the person over there who's got chickens and got terrible chicken shit and put that in as well. And we planted these seeds, and in the end, Irish lockdown one lasted from the St. Patrick's Day until the 1st of July. So I was down there for that, whatever, 4 month period, 3.5 month period. And in that time, the seeds that we planted fully germinated, and we harvested them. And so by the end, we were eating some spectacularly weird vegetables because the island is so harsh, and we definitely got all the nutrients in the soil wrong. The things grew, but they all grew like horror Halloween versions of themselves. So there's parsnips that look like witches' noses. There's carrots that looked like parsnips. There were potatoes that looked like parsnips. Just this horrible sort of Adams family basket of vegetables, but they all tasted incredible. And there came from the earth this, I don't know, a slightly, resurrective is too strong a word, but a continual sense of life and rebirth, even when that during the worst of the pandemic, you would go out and you would look at we grew sweet corn, and like you can't grow sweet corn in Ireland, but the bush grew up and these big dongs appeared on the end, and they have the amazing silk over, you know, the actual... I think it's called sweet corn silk, the leaves that grow around them. And so eventually we pick them and we're like, oh my goodness, and then pull them off. And they looked like Frankenstein's dick. They just looked absolutely totally wrong on the inside. But we boiled them for ages and ate them. And they were all absolutely brilliant. So for my side, I would like pandemic vegetables grown by me. And my dad.
Obviously, when you said that you got the corn and you pulled the silk off and it looked like Frankenstein's dick, obviously the first thing I imagined is Coco David sticking his head around the corner and being like, "You're gonna eat that?"
You did his voice all wrong there, James.
Sorry.
I definitely ate all of it and. It was really great. I grew when I was an amazing entrepreneur when I was a kid, and everyone thought I was going to be Jobs. I was going to be that. So in terms of, I was always starting businesses, like wash your car for £2 kind of thing, and typing up business cards and posting them into the. I set up a detective agency. When I was about 10, and we would find your cat for money, even though we never got any cases. And part of it was we would find waste ground and dig it and plant vegetables there. I would make my mother buy the seeds, and then we would plant them and then go door to door trying to sell radishes to people on the road, so they would be like, who's this incredible entrepreneur that will one day change the world with one of his amazing business ideas? Isn't this the guy who asked if he wanted me to clean his car last week? And so I got into the veggie game from that. It's by selling. I used to sell radishes for 3p each.
Wow. So how are you preparing these Pani D veg, these Corona veg?
I'm popping them all in the unnamed, I think it's called a Dutch oven, is the official name of one of those castware pots, I know, which is...
It is. There's a double meaning for Dutch oven.
Yeah, which is very unfortunate. I see why Le Creuset don't call it that then. Do you want a Dutch oven? Then they fart under a duvet and pull it over your head.
Weirdly, they both smell like boiling veg.
So I'm going to bung them in the pot, and the genie is going to tell me exactly how much stock and salt and wine to put in with it, the exact right amount of time, and those veggies. And ooh, Nelly, that is going to be a hearty and delicious meal as well. I should say it's not tough though. Like, we weren't the tough kids of my area. As in, the tough kids were no way they were breaking into your garden. And then, like, what have they done? Have they stolen something from the shed? No, they seem to have just planted a load of vegetables. Who are these absolute nerds?
Is your drink homemade also? Have you and your father been doing a bit of a home brewing?
I, at this point, would be tempted to say a pint of Guinness, but I actually don't think physically I could handle it at this point in the meal. You know, what is basically the chowder of the beer world is going to meet the chowder of the ocean down there.
This is a very delicious but very heavy menu so far. You've essentially got bread that you've described as dark matter. You've got a creamy chowder. You've got a massive stew, basically, for main course. If you pour a pint of Guinness on this, mate, you're going through the floor.
Like a Roald Dahl character, just like dropping food.
No, I'm going to just something light to refresh the palate. I'll go with a White Russian then, because...
full cream?
Yeah. I mean, come on, who cares? Though I was trying to think of a cocktail that actually means something to me. And the only one would be, I've been out a few times with Max from the comedy duo Max and Ivan.
Yes.
And he is a cocktail correspondent for like one of the glossy magazines, and he knows them all. And he's really good at when you go to a cocktail bar, a cocktail is like $11.50 or something. He'll be like, "Oh, then just give me." So he got me into, Bundaberg ginger beer. So not ginger ale, but the ginger beer, the one with the cool lid that's like a can, that with gin in it. And so it's a sort of a cheap ass Singapore sling, basically. And then you steal lime off the bar and you put that in. And, you know, if you can steal an olive then, say if one person gets, what I'm talking about is cocktails on a budget here. And there's a way you can have a whole lot of fun for half the price of a named cocktail then. So I was thinking of doing that, but of much more significance to me in my, with my friends is the White Russian, just because it's synonymous with me, with Nish Kumar's birthday is during the Edinburgh Fringe every year. And I don't know how the tradition started. He possibly talked about it on this podcast.
We've mentioned it on this podcast before, that the tradition is on Nish's birthday, everyone drinks White Russians to the extent that the bar we go to in Edinburgh always runs out of milk. And I believe you've done this before, David. You've had to go to the supermarket and buy them more milk.
Ran to Tesco Express and come back with 4 liters. Like, how much milk does a bar have, particularly after the coffee ends at 6 o'clock? Like, they've probably got half a pint just to keep it going for staff having cups of tea or whatever. And we are through that after about 15 minutes then. And some severe queasiness that results from that. That's definitely the case. But I do, I enjoy a White Russian from that point of view. And then I remember once I'd just done a gig in Sydney at the Enmore Theatre, and it was the last gig of an Australian tour, and which is a silly thing to do. I told the audience we'd all go to a pub up the road, and because that's 1,800 people or something, 300 of them went. It was on like a Tuesday night. So we all descended on this empty pub, and everyone was buying me pints, and it was very nice. And then a man came up to me and handed me, like, what the hell is this? It looked like a quadruple Bailey's or something. Mm-hmm. And he went, it's a White Russian. I'm Nish's uncle.
Yeah. Yes. I thought Nish's uncle was going to pop up at the end of this anecdote.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think, I'm not even sure if White Russians are a thing, particularly in Sydney at the end of the summer. So it's possible he'd had to run out to the nearest Tesco Express to buy them a half a pint of milk to make it. But what I'm saying
is... And the nearest Tesco Express in Sydney is miles away, I'd say.
Yeah, they had to really go a long way to get the right kind of milk for the White Russian.
So for your drink, let's not beat around the bush, you've essentially picked a dessert chowder.
Yeah. A sweet alcoholic chowder.
Yes, I have. This meal is going to be an Adidas. If you remember what Adidas stands for, that's what's going to happen.
All day I dream about sex.
No, after dinner I do a shit.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
For me and James immediately just go for the new metal Korn version of Adidas, which is All Day I Dream About Sex.
Yeah, we instantly thought of the song by the new metal band Korn, and we went, what did Korn sing about? It'll be that. Why on earth, why on earth Dave O'Doherty, the only Korn he likes is in his chowder or wants to look like Frankenstein's dick?
I don't know. Korn definitely went with All Day I Dream About Sex. I don't remember the bit in the song where they go, after dinner, I did a shit.
When I was about 10 years old, the first ever cool shoes I got, where I requested them from my mother, were Adidas boot runners, like basketball boots. And torsion. They were the torsion bar ones. And I brought them, went out to the park in them, like, you know, you're so proud of the new runners, you don't even walk on grass. You're making sure just to stay on cement. And they're attracting a lot of compliments. And then Brian McDonald, who was slightly older than us, said, you know what Adidas is short for? And this was the first time I'd heard it. He said, after dinner, I do a shit. But he went a step further than that. He said, they're shitting boots. And it's because when you're sitting down, it can put a lot of stress on your ankles. So that's why you should wear boot runners while you're wearing them. And he literally ruined those shoes. I went home and I was like, Mom, I can't believe you bought me shitting boots.
Well, we arrive at your dessert now, David. Very exciting. My favourite course, and I can only assume you're going to choose a big vat of double fat cream.
Funny influence of this podcast is, since listening to the Ivo Graham episode, I've got really into banana in strawberry yogurt.
Oh, just okay, well.
Yeah, it's good. It's not bad at all. Something that people need to know about David O'Doherty. David O'Doherty loves a store-bought dessert. And there are two classics available in Ireland. One of them is available over there. One of them is not. Okay, I'll talk about the one that's not first, which... So in our, you know, the way Walls, the brand, is called different things. It's a franchise you sell to different countries. So it's called like Ola in Portugal or whatever. And what's it called in Australia? It's got a, like, anyway, the in Ireland, it's called HB. And one of their biggest sellers was discontinued in the United Kingdom in 2003. And that is one you may remember called the Romantica, which is a cake. It's a store-bought cake that has different layers in it. It's a sort of a caramel. It's got a biscuity element to it. It says on the front, serves 9 or something, but you would have half of it yourself, no bother. That's a great one. So I want a sliver of Romantica, and then I just want a vanilla Viennetta. It's like, it's easy to turn your nose up at a Viennetta because they're ubiquitous, but just everything about it is a miracle. It is co-invented by an Irish man called David Houlihan, who also invented the Calippo. He invented the freaky foot. No, he, the Wibbly Wobbly Wonder. He invented a sort of ice cream, of sort of gelatinous ice cream that retains shape when it melts a bit. You know what I mean? I think that was the big breakthrough of probably that era in the 80s when all those ice creams came out. And
what's Wibbly Wobbly Wonder?
Do you not have a Wibbly Wobbly Wonder?
I do, but it's for private times.
Do you put a rubber jetty on it sometimes?
Please, David, a sheath.
A Wibbly Wobbly Wonder is another classic newsagent ice pop that is half a kind of a... It's a bit like a loop-the-loop. Do you know a loop-the-loop?
No.
This is really interesting.
You could just be making all these up.
Yeah.
This is like when Adam and Joe have a sketch where they make up band names. It feels like that. It feels like you making up ice creams.
A Wibbly Wobbly Wonder is a sort of iced ice cream halfway up, then jelly at the top that is covered in chocolate. So it somehow maintains a slightly wobbly texture, even straight from the cold cabinet.
That sounds great.
However, the Viennetta... I need to make it clear, we need to chambre the Viennetta. Because the problem, I think, we're all busy people. Most of your listeners are very, very busy people. And they don't have time to let the Viennetta chambre for the recommended 15 minutes or 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour. So you end up eating it just like a lot of prehistoric strata. Whereas what you want to do, you know, where you just eat the ice creamy bit, now a chocolatey bit, now an ice creamy bit. What you actually want is to get it to that point of meltiness where a sharp cake knife will, you know, that sinewy sound it makes.
Crack.
As it, yeah, but loads yeah. of cracks. Loads yeah. of them.
Loads of cracks. And how do they get that chocolate so thin?
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's a marvel. It's really good. It's... When you said Freaky Foot and Wibbly Wobbly Wonder, I was imagining that's what you and your dad named all the vegetables.
That's what you called yourselves when you were growing the, when you were doing the gardening. My name's Freaky Foot and this is my son, the Wibbly Wobbly Wonder.
I'm happy with that. You know, we could definitely have a panna cotta, or we could have something. The Spoon did a panna cotta. Rest in peace, yeah. Spoon, that was in a glass with Scottish shortbread that was amazing. Like, you would have eaten six of them if they were there. But yeah. No, I'm just going to go with maybe this has gone a bit lockdown now, but the Viennetta is still available.
Viennetta and a slice of Romantica.
Yeah, with it as well. Cakes.
I mean, I never thought I'd say this about Viennetta, but in the context of your menu, it is a sort of light palate cleanser finish.
Somehow. I mean, it's no surprise that your menu has ended with two desserts as well. Just like, also, I'd like two ice cream desserts at the end, please. Thank you very much.
I mean, does a dessert exist, though, that's like a light, I guess something like a mousse like that to send you off into the night? But
something citrusy to lift the taste buds, but you've gone with Viennetta, which no. I think you should be happy with. Your honestly, I think James mentioned it earlier, but your menu is like something the twits would eat.
I'm going to read your menu back to you, David,
very
and see
happy.
How you feel. Okay, for your water course, you chose some condensed milk. Water course, tap water, still water. Poppadoms or bread, you said Guinness treacle soda bread with Dairy Gold butter. Starter, absolute carnage, canal dredged dairy chowder. Main course, Coco Doherty. Chicken and all the veg in a French inspired cooking.
You forgot the question mark there.
Coco Doherty?
You forgot the question mark.
Thank you.
Coco Doherty? Side dish. Pandemic vegetables grown by Freaky Fruit and the Wibbly Wobbly Wonder. drink, a white Russian, happy birthday Nish Kumar, and dessert, a sliver of HB Romantica cake with some vanilla Viennetta that has been left to Chambre for 15 minutes.
Perfect. I mean, I reckon I could manage that menu, but I'd be very full.
I can just imagine David just like sinking into the ground like it's made of quicksand after the meal, no matter what. And just sinking down and then actually just coming out the other end of in Australia, the other end of the earth. all the way
and
through.
And Nish's uncle's there.
Yeah, yeah. White Russian for him.
I'm Nish's uncle. Oh, no, I can't manage it now, Nish's uncle. I've just sunk through from Ireland.
It's not a meal for a date, a hot date, you know what I mean? Where afterwards, you're like, do you want to go dancing? And then you just both fall asleep just in the taxi, innocently glide off as your body struggles to process all of this saturated fat.
You're not going to bed with anyone after that because you'll be creating a real Le Creuset.
Yeah, you'll be tying up your Adidas trainers and then walking to the toilet.
David, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant. You have been an excellent guest. We'll have to get you a cab, of course, and we're going to have to roll you out of the building because you are full, baby. Thank you so much for coming, David. Say thank you to David O'Doherty, everyone
thank
in your
you,
own
David.
Homes. Thank you, David.
Thanks, you guys.
There we have it. What a fun evening that was. We spent with David O'Doherty live on the internet with people watching us, James.
Loved it. I absolutely loved it. Great company. So many revelations. And he didn't choose the secret ingredient,
which was ghost pepper. We're very happy he didn't pick ghost pepper. It would not have gone with his menu because it doesn't go with any menus. Can I just say as well, during that recording, no context off menu, they did an absolutely amazing job. They were live memeing the whole thing, which it would take me hours to years to make a meme, yet there was no context off menu, live memeing the whole event.
I don't know how they even do it. I mean, honestly, they were definitely working harder than we were.
Oh, yeah.
We were just messing around talking to David O'Doherty. They were actually doing work.
But to be fair, that's consistent across all of the off-menu stuff, really.
Yes.
Yeah. We do the bit you hear.
Yeah.
And then Benita has to edit it, and No Context Off-Menu does loads of social media. Benita does loads of social media. We just show up and get sent free food, baby.
Yeah, that is true. We get sent a lot of... Well, I don't get sent as much now because I'm not on social media. I really missed a trick there. I didn't think it through.
Nope.
Didn't think
Absolute
it
idiot.
Through. Yeah.
Absolute idiot. You should have kept your Twitter, got an Instagram, muted everyone, and just kept the inbox open.
Yeah.
In your face. So that was a lot of fun. Thanks to the Unmute Podcast Festival, aka The Great Benito. Hopefully there'll be another one of those soon, although he sort of just looks quite stressed about the whole thing. So don't hold your breath.
Yeah, his whole life's stressful, though.
Yeah, it's true. David O'Doherty, wonderful comedian, of course. He's just recorded an album, James.
A comedy special that he recorded in his car on Ackle Island, which we talked about in the episode just now. And it's called Live in His Car During a Pandemic. You can get it on Bandcamp and probably other platforms as well.
Check that out. But for now, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again sometime soon. Goodbye.
Farewell.
Ciao.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy... there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon. It's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.